Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, the show that brings together well-known friends to chew the fat over three thought-provoking questions washed down by three glasses of wine. And today, joining me, well, you'll know her as the winner of I'm a Celebrity 2015, Judge Geordie, a finalist most recently on MasterChef. She's been making me lol on Coach Trip, and her new show, No Filter, is on Quest Red, which is on every Wednesday at 10 o'clock, and you can catch it on demand. Just don't call her Vicky from Geordie Shore, man, all right? Vicky Patterson.
Hello.
That was my rubbish Geordie accent.
I was just in awe of your little, little introduction. I feel...
You've been busy.
I do feel quite busy when you see it like that.
Now, what I love is that we asked, when we spoke to you, Vic, he said to you, bring in a friend, one of your best friends, somebody that shows the best you.
Oh.
And you said, I've got him. It's Gavin Ford, a.k.a. DJ Gav. Now, you two have been friends for 8 years, and Vicky describes you, Gav, as her own best and worst influence. Oh, Gav, it's so nice to have you here. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you for having me. I didn't realise it was going to be with Kate Fulton, and you turned up, and it was like, oh.
You didn't realise it was me?
No, I didn't. No, it kept saying Kate, and then you turned up, and I was like, oh, it's Kate Fulton. Are we allowed to swear?
Yes, you can swear.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. I'm not Davina McCall. This is not Channel 4. This is not the 90s. You're
fucking
fine.
Kate Fulton. No one told me it's fucking Kate Fulton.
No. I've never seen him fangirl like this.
Oh, careful. I hope I was a pleasant, if not...
Yeah, it's good. It's just a surprise.
Yeah.
It's just a surprise.
I just didn't know your middle name was fucking.
Yeah, that's how big a fan I am. I know a middle name and everything.
I'm intrigued. Gav lives in Southampton. You're from the Toon.
Okay.
How on earth did you two come to be friends?
Oh, so it was about 8 years ago. and Geordie Shore had literally just started. And we didn't sort of get like propelled onto everybody's screens and be like internationally recognised and loved overnight. We were definitely like a slow burner. Mm-hmm. But of course, when all clubs and promoters got a hold of the fact that there was this new TV show coming out that was like all about going out on the lash and pulling birds and all the rest of it, they were like, right, great, let's book them without sort of waiting to see, without testing the waters, without seeing what the reception to us was going to be like, which, as of course aforementioned, was a little bit slow at first. So they booked me this club in Southampton, Oceana, if I seem to remember.
I know Oceana. Is that where you DJ, Gav?
I did DJ there, yeah, back then. That was...
He used to drop,
that was my haunt.
Yeah, he used to drop this wicked banger just when the crowd was really going. He used to drop The Lion King. Yeah, do you remember? Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, thanks for telling everyone that.
The Lion King.
I'm quite a credible DJ now. Just so everyone knows, if you look into me, The Lion King, you can't find any record of that apart from this now.
Do you mean which Lion King track? I'm just
there was
that's a good one.
It was a remix of that, yeah. And that's yeah,
nice.
That's,
yeah.
You don't have to defend yourself, Gav.
No, it's a tune.
It was lit.
For all the records I played, that's the one you remember and bring up. Kate fucking Fawner, don't bring up the bad records I played. Talk about the good ones.
Well, right, I'm about to embarrass myself now anyway. So you're...
Go on, yes.
Eight people turned up, Kate.
Eight.
Oh, it happens to the best, we'll listen.
Listen, it does, babe. We've all been there. We've all had to crawl out of a hole.
Yeah, well, so nobody knew who I was, quite frankly.
I think the show had only been on a week in your defence, or 2 weeks.
Yeah, thank you. And in your defence, The Lion King is a tune.
Yeah.
So it was, there was just nobody there. And I sort of thought, this is a bit embarrassing. I'm going to get pissed. So I just got super, super drunk and ended up back at this house party with the eight people who'd been there. And they were like predominantly rugby lads, and there was a lot of like male banter going on, and it was just not really my scene. And then Gav turned up, and me and him just gravitated to a corner together.
Started taking chunks out of people.
Yeah, we did. We did. We just started griefing everybody, and we realised we had very similar senses of humour, quite an instant bond, and the friendship has just grown from there.
Aww.
It started from such a weird, vapid place, but over
Didn't
the
years,
yeah, just so bizarre. But over the years, he's grown to be someone that I can like absolutely depend on, even when things aren't going great. I think in times of struggle, real friends really reveal themselves.
They do.
And Gav has done that time and time again.
Do you have lots of female friends, Gav? Or is
I don't have any friends.
An anomaly?
I don't have any friends.
You're
at
hoping
all.
Keith fucking Thornton's going to be the next one, aren't you? I see what you're doing, Gav. I'm your only celebrity friend.
No, not really. Only like.
It's me and Sophie, isn't it?
Yeah, my mum.
Oh, mum. Anne's wicked.
So, what was it about Vicky that made you want to spark up this kind of long distance friendship?
I just think. She's quite good at taking the piss out of people, and I'm quite good at taking the piss out of people. And I remember I had a job when I was 19, and they encouraged me not to take the piss out of people. And to meet someone that was so good at it, and it brought back memories, and when I was allowed to, when I was good at taking, and it all come back. And yeah, just, I don't know, just, I think it's quite a big divide, the Newcastle-Southampton divide. People in Southampton aren't like people in Newcastle. Everyone in Newcastle is all Vicky's family's lovely. Everyone, all Vicky's friends. I think it's just like, new people from Newcastle are brilliant.
You like their banter.
This is the only one I met.
Is Southampton a little bit too polite for you? And you kind of like the honesty of a Newcastle exchange?
Yeah, I think just people from Newcastle are just like, it's a whole new breed. But it's brilliant. It's a whole new world. And it was like, opened up to this whole world of Geordie genius. It's like, I love this. I want more. But yeah, Vicky's the best, top three best Geordies I've ever met.
Who else is in there? Yeah.
Your mum?
Yeah, fair enough.
I have to think about the other one. I can't rush into it.
I
didn't realise.
Or Deck, yeah.
It's going to upset someone.
Yeah,
maybe a Shearer.
I don't know what I'd up either Ant or Deck. Oh, no, I thought it was just top three Geordies of all time.
Well, yeah, you can have that.
Who's
you
your top three Geordies?
Me mum, Ant and Deck. Keeping
Kate,
it.
Kate, what's your top three Geordies?
Vicky and Ant and Deck.
Nice.
Brilliant
easy.
Shout, Kate. Yeah, that was easy for you.
That was easy.
Look at us, we did it dead easy, Gav.
Yeah.
You made a right meal of that.
Well, I said your mum only door, so I couldn't go about all deck.
Yeah, it's hard.
I had to pick one, I don't know. I don't want to
hang
with
them. You don't
want
to anger either of them.
They're, no.
They've got a lot of pull.
They have. You don't want to get them.
Geordie Mafia. I'm just saying.
So the way this podcast works is we ask three questions and every question is punctuated with a top up.
Okay.
This is the best podcast ever.
So your first question, are you ready?
Is that the first question?
I need to top up. As
you've already done one.
All
on
this,
the warm-up.
All this Kate Fawn and excitement.
It's not often that we get a male-female platonic friendship in the studio. And I love that because I have some really close male friends as well.
Good.
But I just wondered, what do you get from your friendship that maybe you don't get from friendships with people of the same sex?
Face masks.
I've introduced him to the world of skincare. Yeah.
None of my male mates ever bring out face masks. And when I turn up in them, they look at me like I'm mental.
You meant to wash them off, Gav.
Yeah, but she didn't teach me that bit.
It's a step-by-step process. I think over the years, we've grown closer and closer. And I think one of the things I've noticed as a woman is I'm 32 this year. Most of my friends are in very serious relationships, if not married, completely settled down. I mean, some of them are on their third kid.
Wow.
When we get together, they talk about stamp duty and mortgages and the kids going back to school, which is so great for them. And I couldn't be prouder that my friends are getting what they want out of life, because some of them are just natural born mothers. And I think it's brilliant that they're following their dreams and they're happy. It evidently has not been my path.
You've given it a good go, though, babe.
Oh, mate, I've given it a proper college try. I'm pleased they're misses looking back. But yeah, I mean, I did give it a good shot. But no, I think, and it's become harder over the years to relate. It's become harder over the years to find things to talk about that interest us both. It's just become harder to see them because
you're
we're
at a different life stage. Your priorities are so not aligned anymore.
That's completely right. Yeah. And when I'm spending a lot of time with these people, like, this is not derogatory towards them at all, because they'd hate it if they made me feel this way. But more often than not, I feel left out. Oh. I feel like I'm being left behind. I feel like I can't relate to what they're going through, and I struggle to be excited about the things they're excited about. It's put strain on some of my friendships that I'm not in the place, my female friendships that I'm not in the place where they are. Whereas why me and Gav have grown so much closer is because we are in pursuit of a different kind of happiness, I think. Like, he is really focused with his career. He works really hard. He's very passionate about what he does. It sets his soul on fire. And when we sit and we have a couple of drinks, like we are now, and we talk about our work, I can feel how fired up he gets. I can see my passion about what I do mirrored in him. He's supportive. He understands. He gets the hustle. And he's not judgmental that I can't keep a fella. You know what I mean? He's not, oh, don't worry, it'll happen for you. He's not.
I judge all of the fellas.
Oh, he judges the fellas.
Yeah.
There's never been a good one.
Do you ever give her honest feedback on the fella front?
Nah.
No, because you know what happens, Kate, is they suss early doors that he's the one they've got to impress.
Yeah.
Yeah, they buy me early.
They do. They buy his love and affections early doors.
Do they?
Yeah, I take it as well.
Yeah, you you do.
But, you know, if you don't impress Gav, then the route to a relationship with Vicky is going to be harder.
Yeah, something like that, I think. And I'm easily bought.
What is it, like a pint, two
pretty
pints?
Much one mimosa, it seems.
It's good to know my future happiness means so little to you.
Well, not if there's free drinks, clearly.
No, I just think that, like, they're all just merging to one big idiot.
Vicky's ex is all just blur.
Just, yeah, they're all just the same. But
is there a type, Gav?
There was a type up until Erkan and the new one. They were all like,
the new one, he can't be bothered with names.
He gave up about three fellas ago learning names. He just thought, you're not going to be here long enough, son.
No, they all used to be like big morons, most confident person, like telling jokes about being funny. Couldn't even understand the last one. Like, his accent was so, but like,
where was he from?
He's from Newcastle, but
it was just outside
a deeper part of Newcastle. Yeah. I don't think I've been to yet. Would have been a top three Geordies. No, when there.
Wood. It was very woodland.
But like, you know, just you know, the most confident, like top boy. Yeah, I'm a geezer. Yeah, what, all that sort of stuff.
Which is so
that was
you,
the type.
I'm
that
guessing.
Was the type. Yeah, me. Yeah. No.
But you're not. You're Mr. Chilled Laid Back.
Yeah. No. A few mimosas in, I go a bit like that. But yeah. Yeah, that was your type, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I went for alpha male dickheads.
Right.
Yeah, they were pretty much the same.
And he's right, they definitely held similar qualities. I've tried to break the mold with my current boyfriend. Yeah. It's going swimmingly so far.
Is it? Is he good, Gav?
Yeah, he's nice, yeah. He got me 3 or 4 beers the first time I met him.
Still buying you. Yeah,
good bloke.
Can you understand him?
Yeah, he talks perfect English, yeah.
Southeast London, that's where Gav's leaning more towards.
does he tell jokes about being funny?
No, he's not funny.
He's not funny. Gav's right. He's got so many endearing qualities, but humour is not.
No,
funny.
He is quite funny. When you described him, you said he wasn't funny, but maybe that's because I wasn't expecting anything. But he was actually.
I lowballed it.
Yeah. I thought he was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was funny. Yeah.
And what do you get out of this friendship?
I got about Gav? 4 or 5 beers out of that one.
Yeah, no, your friendship with Vicky that you don't have with the rest of your friends.
Aside from the face masks, obviously, which we could have been over. Well, I think it's the same as what Vicky said. When we met, I was playing Lion King in an empty Oceania, and Vicky was doing a PA in an empty Oceania.
Started from the bottom now, yeah.
And then I've always messed around with music, but always done other things on the side. And then as Vicky's career grew and stuff, like she did bigger and better things, and it kind of inspires you to try and do bigger and better things. I can remember when she said, she's going to leave the first show, which we don't talk about. Don't leave this show. It's people like, how can you leave this show? And she's like, no, I'm better than that. I was thinking, you're fucking mental. And then she, like, leaving the show. And then she left. Obviously, she didn't say it because I didn't know what I was talking about, but just thinking, you're mad. You're leaving this show. It's massive. Everyone loves this show. And then went on and then just did better and better. And I was thinking, I need to leave Oceania and stop playing Lion King. I could do it. If she could leave Geordie Shore, I could stop playing Lion King on a Saturday night. And that's the end. And I thought, right, I'm going to make a real go of music. And then, yeah, now I'm here. Kate fucking Thornton.
Yeah, you're smashing it.
So she inspires you then?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think she inspires everyone around her. So that's part of the...
Gavin.
But yeah, that's what I think. That's so. It's the timing. So she was at the start of her journey, and I was at the end of mine, but needed to start a new one. And I think seeing what she's done, and obviously, it does things. When she's going for I'm a Celebrity, they kept saying that they never even have someone from Geordie Shore on there, let alone to go on there and win it. So like that was like a huge thing. Like
it was. That I think that was your golden moment.
That was a turning point.
I don't care what she's done. I just really like this girl. A watershed.
I think it did. For me, I was obviously unaware of everything that was going on outside. Like, you're in this bubble and all you're focusing on is, like, smashing the trails, having a bit of banter with Ant and Dick and, like, getting on with everyone in camp and, like, making sure you don't look like a fanny. Like, that was my only goals when I was in there. I didn't know what everyone else was saying. I knew that people did not want me in there. I knew that before I went in.
Who were the people that didn't want you in there?
So I remember I'd like been desperate to even just see the producers for years, and they just refused to see me.
Really?
Yeah, refused. And then like they sort of opened their minds the year I went in, and they met a couple of us, I think. I actually think they met Gaz as well. And I remember sitting there with them, and they went through all the motions with us, and they were dead canny, and they asked us all the right questions. Are you open to a jungle romance, and what are you scared of, and this, that and the other? And I just remember thinking, like, this is absolutely a pivotal moment in your career, and if you don't smash this, Vicky, you'll never forgive yourself. So right at the end they went, is there anything else you want to ask us? And I just said, I don't want to ask you anything. I just want to tell you I'll be fucking good at this. And they were so taken aback. They were like, who is this girl? Like, we didn't want to see her. She's pushed her way in. She's now sitting here with probably the cockiest thing anyone's ever said to us. And I just was like, I'm telling you, I'll be good at it. And I just left, and I remember leaving, and I know that when I went in, everyone was like, get this girl out. Like, Twitter, all the social media channels was just like, she's going to ruin it. Reality TV scum. This isn't what the jungle's about. And within 24 hours, I was the favourite to win, and I stayed that way.
I bet on her when she was still not the favourite.
Did you?
Big win for me, yeah.
Yes, man. Did you? How much did you get, Gav?
I can't remember. It was quite a lot. I went in her, like... Because you went in late as well, didn't you? So yeah. It was good odds.
It was good when odds. Everyone still thought I was a knob.
Yeah. I got the knob rate. It's a good rate. Good knob odds.
Knob rate, always the best.
Well, I'm glad that you did that.
Thank thank you.
Because I think it has been the making of you.
It's allowed me to show Great Britain and the public and myself who I really am.
That's what I got from it, is I thought you were so defined by how you were reported that you had to remember who you were again. And actually, when you take away all that noise, that white noise of headlines, social media and everything else, and you're just with people and you judge yourself by their responses to you, you start to figure out who you are again.
I think if you tell, I mean, I totally agree with that, Kate. If you tell someone over and over and over again, you are a scumbag, you are a monster.
You start to believe it.
Like, you will never be successful. This is where you are. Stay in your lane. If you repeat those affirmations to someone, then, and if someone hears them enough, that is truly what they're going to believe. I believed I didn't deserve anything. I believed I was destined for nothing. I believed I was the monster that people wrote about in the paper. And being given the chance to change people's perception of me, to show the real me, and also for me to truly turn a corner and realise I wasn't any of those things and have a bit of self-worth again. The jungle changed my life and I'll be eternally grateful for that opportunity. I'm going to cry. I've had a mimosa.
What I wanted to know from you next is, when did you last advise each other to not do something?
Oh, shit.
It's never happened ever, I don't.
No. Shit. We're not very good at telling each other not to do silly things.
But what about the important stuff?
We were talking the other day, I can't remember what we were talking about.
Go on.
Obviously, you're always looking forward and what's coming up and what's going wrong, what's going right. And we were talking about how important it is to look back when we were at Oceania's or no one was coming to the gigs and think back what it's like to an outside looking into what we have now. There's a time when, you know, didn't have people listening to my songs or people weren't watching you on TV. And we were thinking about the importance of that. That's the last time I can think about.
The advice, I think it was sort of like stopping too hard on yourself. I'm my own worst critic and like I'm constantly in pursuit of the next big thing. Like I can't just be proud of something I've done. I'm already like, well, that's done. I want something else now.
So you don't enjoy the moment?
No, I don't, Kate. I never live in the moment. I'm actually normally so stressed out in the moment, worrying about the moment, that I don't think I'm in the moment.
Yeah, that's it.
If that makes sense. I've got the only way I can like compartmentalize and control myself is if I'm focusing on the next thing. So I think it was just about like living in the moment and chilling out, wasn't it? Told me to stop, not to sort of always want the next.
I think it was a stress because you hadn't moved into, you were trying to find a flat at that time.
Yeah, because on the first episode of the new show, you said you took, you advised Vicky not to take the apartment.
The first two,
they
weren't apartments.
They were just halls.
They were smaller than this place we're in now.
They were
smaller than the studio.
Yeah.
Okay, it was very depressing. My first foray into flat hunting was a real punch in the dick.
Was it?
It was just so depressing, wasn't it?
Well, it just makes you... we're sat here talking in London today, and I think anybody that's still trying to start out as a home owner or even just somebody that's renting on their own in this city, you need a lot of money. It's hard.
Like anyone sort of starting out in London has my sympathies. Like I got on the property ladder in Newcastle and coming down and then sort of trying to buy in London is a real eye-opener. It actually depresses you beyond belief because for what I could be spending my money on in Newcastle, I could be living like a Premiership footballer.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You'd have four bedrooms and a front and back garden.
Well, that's it. All the gardens, all the bedrooms, all the wardrobes. It would just be incredible. You definitely have a room, Gav.
Oh, thanks.
Definitely. Rather than the cupboard you have at my new property. But then you come down here and your eyes are just open to how competitive the market actually is. So, no, that's really difficult. Yeah, you did. You told us to sort of... to chill out and not...
Yeah, the first ones we saw were real mental, though. You didn't need my advice to them, I don't think.
No, I have eyes. the best advice Gav ever gave me, actually, when he sort of said, slow down and stop. We all thought my last... I've had a really tempestuous love life. And it's been well documented. Everyone knows about it. I'm dead candid. There's no secrets there, but the last one was meant to be the one. And I made no secret of that neither.
Well, you were getting married, weren't you?
Kate, man, I was meant to be married now. So yeah, it was sort of assumed amongst my group of friends that the hard times were over, wasn't it? That, like, I'd met the right one and the heartbreak and the tears and everything were finished. And, like, I never really realised, because obviously I was just so consumed by my heartbreak, the stress and pressures that I was putting on me friends and me family, having to watch me constantly go through that. I was so consumed by how hurt I was, I didn't once consider what I was putting them through as well, watching someone they loved and cared about be hurt. And I remember it was about, was it like Christmas this year? And me and him were sitting there and he was just like, just please do not move into anything too fast with anyone else. Because he was like, I can't trust anyone else. He's like, that John was meant to be the one. He was meant to be the person who made all the badness go away, and he's gone and done this. He was like, I just don't know how soon it'll be before I trust someone. John cheated on me last year, which is quite bad. But I mean, in retrospect, for the best.
Yeah.
We probably weren't right together.
Well, if he's doing that, then no, he's
well,
not.
Well, definitely weren't right
then
together.
Then you deserve better.
Thank you. I think so. But yeah, it was you, Gav, who sort of said, just like, take your time. Like, it, and then it almost just made me sort of like realise, like, hang on a second, if he's saying he can't trust anyone and he's saying it's affected him, surely it should have had massive effects on me. So I did have took things slightly slower this year. Not by like anyone else's sort of standards, but by my standards I've gone slow.
You've dialed it down.
I'm not engaged. Give us a fucking break.
And do you advise Gav on his love life?
I just normally get really jealous.
Do you?
Yeah, because whenever he gets girlfriends, they don't like me. And then I don't get to see him as much.
Why don't they like Vicky? Is it a sense of being...
I know, I'm fucking adorable.
Is it because you've got a closeness with another woman, do you think?
I just don't think people understand it. And I don't think... I don't know.
It's a difficult one unless you see us together.
Yeah, I think it's... I don't know, I don't know. Because I've never really delved too much into it. Maybe they just think that...
We're shagging.
Yeah. They just think, oh, your girl... They say, oh, your girlfriend. Or you with a girlfriend anyway. Not my girlfriend.
She's clearly not my girlfriend.
Yeah, like...
But surely, I mean, somebody that's evolved enough will understand that you can have relationships with both genders. And
I just think it's different. It's different worlds.
And be okay with that.
It's different worlds. It, like, I think people struggle with the concept of a guy and a girl being friends are the best, let alone a girl that's on TV all the time where everyone loves, so everyone's like on this TV program, on that TV program. So I think it's just too much of an extreme to sort of, a guy hanging around with a girl is like enough as it is without someone that everyone sort of kind of knows. And like you'll be at a party and go, well, Gavin's friends with Vicky Patterson. Like, and you're like, okay, why have you announced that?
Well, I guess it doesn't help, right? So let's be honest, right? When you start dating somebody, you check them out online.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bit of a Google search. Certainly socials, yeah?
Yeah.
So imagine I'm your new girlfriend and I'm like...
Oh, so Kate fucking Fawnett's my new girlfriend.
You have smashed today.
So I'm going to do what most women do. I'm going to look at you. I'm going to have a quick scoot across your socials.
Yep.
And then I'm going to put you into the Google search engine. And this is what comes up. This is what you're up against, Gav. Vicky Patterson, thanks. Handsome.
Yeah.
Go on, son.
Male friend words. For standing by her through tough times and awful relationships. But fans are convinced he's, capital letters, the one.
Oh, I remember this article.
That's
what comes up. So that's, I mean, you might almost be killing his sex life, Vivek.
I am the ultimate cock block.
I tell you what, it doesn't kill, though. It doesn't kill strangers coming up to you and going, you shag a big person.
Did you get that?
When that came out, it was Christmas, so obviously people are out drinking. Like, you know, in Christmas, people go out that don't normally drink.
Yeah.
The amount of people would come up, because that was like... That was our Christmas meal, wasn't it?
It was our Christmas night out, yeah.
So, yeah, the amount of people that was like, it was not even hello, all right, or are you Gavin, like straight in.
You shagging Vicky Patterson.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so.
I do wax so lyrically about them on social media, like.
And you're in the show now as well, yeah. Gav. You're like almost a co-star.
Well, yeah, I thought I was good at it.
Yeah, you smashed it, babe.
Yeah.
I think there's definite wiggle room for you in the world of TV.
Wiggle room.
You can wiggle all over my TV.
When you're doing it, I mean, obviously you two are seasoned pros, but you don't know if you're good at it. You just think...
Trick is just to be yourself.
Yeah, you're doing it, I think, oh, am I rubbish in this? This feels like it's rubbish.
That feeling never goes away.
No.
FYI.
It's called imposter syndrome. We all have it.
Oh, is it? Is that your name for it? Yeah. I just think it, but I watched it and I was thinking, oh,
did you
no.
think it was just you?
Yeah, I think I'm rubbish in this. And then, like, I watched it back thinking, oh, no, I remember this. I was rubbish. I was thinking, actually, that was quite good. It's quite good. I'll watch this. I'll follow me on Instagram.
That never, ever goes away. I was sat at home last night and somebody texted me going, looking good on BBC Two. And I was like, what am I doing on BBC Two? And then my son put it on. I went, turn that off! And all it was, it's a very innocent show with Richard Osman, but I was such an idiot on it that I'm ashamed of myself.
What were you doing?
I was on there with Ed Gamble and he texted me last night and went, because somebody said, Richard Osman said, how big is the world's largest sandcastle? So I'm sat there and I'm thinking, Dubai, the Maktoum family, they built islands in the sea, they built the world, they built the palm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go 2 miles, right? I'd completely lowballed on the previous answer. So I said 2 miles, to which case I've got Ade Edmondson sat to my left and Ed Gamble to my right. Mm-hmm. Quite rightly, they fell off their chairs laughing because, frankly, you could see it from frickin' space if that was the case. It's like up there with the Great Wall of China. So I look like a massive twat.
Oh, but the reasoning was there.
I didn't want my son to see that while I'm trying to help him with his homework.
But you fought back to Dubai and like it was the reasoning was there. It was good.
There was some reasoning.
Your train of thought was there.
But still ultimately quite stupid.
Do you know what I took away from that story? Is Keir Thornton is that famous? She's on BBC Two and didn't know.
Yeah.
You didn't even know, Keir.
I forgot.
How big was the biggest sandcastle? Can you remember?
Not 2 miles.
Not 2 miles.
But hold on, Caitlin's on Google. Go, Caitlin, go.
Go, Caitlin.
We've only been. Tongues out. We've only done 40 episodes. Nobody's ever heard us speak. You're not going to say. You're going to speak. Say it. Oh, she's emailed it to me.
Caitlin, that was smooth.
Do you know what? It's 57 foot and 11 inches.
Oh, you were just short.
We'll
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Right, last question. And actually, this segues really nicely.
Gav needs a top up.
Come on, literally, he's going to drain that jug of mimosas.
Go on, son.
I'm guessing that you two are quite open about talking about your... Right, well, I'm just going to ask you. What would you say are your greatest insecurities?
Thank you, Gavin.
Sorry.
He's so thoughtful, isn't he?
Isn't he? Thanks, Gav.
I have a few. Like, I mean, I am literally just made of insecurities.
But I think people love to hear the fact that somebody that they think is quite confident and together, mm-hmm. and I talk about this a lot on this podcast, my own insecurities, because I think if we share them, then everybody feels a little bit better about their own and themselves.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to dive in then. You ready?
Yeah.
Fucking let's get balls deep, gang. I am incredibly insecure that no one will ever love me for me. That I have bounced from one terrible decision to the next in terms of my love life. And the only common denominator has been that these people just absolutely did not care about me as a person. And I offered something that they all wanted. And I am just so worried that I've got to a place now where I'm in the public eye and I can't tell. I don't know. I've never been a very good judge of character. That's why I've clung to Gav so much over the years, because I know he's
not
good.
Not because she likes you.
No, it's because I know you're good.
Yeah.
And everyone loves them that I introduce them to. But so many times I meet people and I just think, well, they're being nice to my face, they must be nice. And everyone else around me can see I'm making a huge mistake, whether it's in a friendship capacity or whether it's more romantic. But I just can't see it because I take people on face value. And I have never had an ulterior motive in my life. I'm just exactly what you see. So to me, the idea that someone could look at you and see you as anything more than a nice person or a good-looking person or a fun person or a compassionate or a kind one, that they could see something they can gain from you, is it's mind-blowing. So because it's so alien, I can't spot it in others. And I worry that I will never be loved for just me.
Oh, Vic, you will. You will.
I think I am at the minute, but then again, I've got nothing to compare it to, so...
You know, I did a thing where... Because I did for a while have, you know, I was a repeat offender in dating the same kind of wrong guy.
Yeah.
And
I hear you.
Maybe not to the same levels of like toxicity that you can share and have experienced. Yeah. But nevertheless, I was a repeat offender.
Mm-hmm.
So my girlfriends assembled themselves as what they called the booze cabinet. So if you think about Parliament as a cabinet, I had a booze cabinet.
Fantastic.
And they were my girlfriends. And so they just basically said, listen, and I'd said to them, I need to stop doing this. I need to change the type of guy that I date or that I'm drawn to.
Mm-hmm.
So the next time I bring somebody to the table that is not right, please tell me, please. And they were like, we're going to do better than that. We're in charge of you now.
Oh my God. They're the captain now.
Yeah, right.
And they were
so, met this guy, completely blew my mind. All kinds of wrong.
Yeah.
And they sat down. And I remember one of my male friends coming over and he just went to me at my birthday party.
Yeah, yeah.
I beg you right now, send him away.
At your birthday?
At my actual birthday.
He's my hero.
So wrong. And then I looked up and the booze cabinet were all there and they're like, he's right. Okay, he's gone. And I had to.
Yeah.
But I did. I got rid of this guy.
Yeah.
And I just said, my friends hate you.
They must hate him to do it at your birthday. Not like, oh, we'll tell her tomorrow. Let her enjoy her birthday. No, tell her now.
No, they were right.
Get him out now.
Yeah.
Before the cake comes.
Evacuate.
He doesn't deserve cake.
If he ruins this cake, I'm going
to... But then I said to myself, Nick, I just need to learn to be, you know, I need to learn to appreciate really simple qualities in somebody like kindness,
yeah,
honesty,
yeah,
compassion. And I found that eventually. Yeah. I then did a year of yes where I said yes to going out on dates with anybody,
yeah,
that didn't make me feel like I wanted to be sick in my own mouth.
Nice.
That was my rule. There weren't loads, because I'm not being funny. There wasn't a queue.
Oh, stop it. I bet there was.
No, there wasn't. But
if Gav had known, he would have been in the queue.
But it got to December and I was like, oh, God, I'm a bit tired of this now. Yeah. Well, go on then, one last one. And that was the one.
Yeah.
And we're together 3 years on, and he's kind and he's compassionate and he's all the things that I love in good people. So why was I not looking for that in a partner, a romantic partner? You'll get there, babe, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. You're only 32. I was like 42 when I met him.
Honestly.
44.
I think, like, so for me, for years, I've definitely, touching on what Gav said, gone for men who, because I consider myself to be relatively secure and confident in who I am and what I've got and where I'm going, and I'm ambitious, I'm driven, I know who Vicky Patterson is, you know what I mean? And she's not perfect, but I accept who she is. I think for a man to step up to that and to match it, they have to be incredibly secure. So subsequently, over the years, I've gone for the loudest person in the room.
Mm.
because I assumed that equated to the most confident, the most secure. And it's actually taken us fucking years to work out that the loudest person in the room is normally the most insecure.
It's all fur coat and no knickers. Yeah.
Oh, Nicholas to the end, mate. So I finally found this guy and he's like, if he walks into a room, right, nobody would bat an eyelid. He's handsome, he's good looking, you'd say that, but he doesn't command your attention. He's not shouting, he's not in your face. But by the time we leave that room, everybody will know his name and everybody will like him.
Oh God, that's my boyfriend all over. He will talk to everyone in the room. He's genuinely interested in everyone. And by the end of the night,
everyone.
It's like the Matt Fan Club, which I am, you know, the first signed up
president.
Member. Yeah, president, CEO. And it makes me really proud to see the way people respond to him. But you're right. It doesn't have to be somebody that's loud and booming. In fact, sometimes the opposite is the best.
Agreed. Go on.
Do you have any
insecurities?
I was a bit insecure about me being on TV, but apparently that's normal. I've just found out.
Yeah, totally.
Fair enough. I have like massive imposter syndrome.
You must have insecurities, Gav.
I didn't expect Kate Fawn to ask you what your insecurities were this morning.
She is putting it on you, Gav.
Well, you don't have to share them if you don't want to.
I don't know.
But I think, you know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be at a certain place and at a certain point in our lives. And do you put pressure on yourself? Are you insecure about
We have this thing that we try and help ourselves to get over that, Kate. We call ourselves DiCaprios.
Yeah. So, basically, we've obviously, DiCaprio went all these years
without winning
the Oscar.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a girlfriend or wife or anything.
No.
He kept going to the Oscars, not winning the Oscar. But he knew he was good. So he didn't care about not winning the Oscar. He knew the Oscar was going to come. He just kept being DiCaprio. He's just going to save the planet, going to supermodels, not getting married, not doing what life expected of him. Yeah. Just being him. And that's what we endeavour to be. We just carry on being DiCaprio.
I love that.
Yeah.
Be more DiCaprio.
That's it. Don't worry about
it. And now he's got his Oscar.
Yep.
I think he's still got a 21-year-old girlfriend, but he might marry her.
He's always going to have a 21-year-old girlfriend. I think we need to accept that.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't put so much pressure on what everyone else wants you to be.
Do you think that you feel the same sort of pressures at this age that you did 10 years ago?
No, I think it's to say, from meeting Vicky and now being more focused on what I want to do, I'm doing what I want to do, but much later than I should be doing it. So I'm 36 now. I'm doing the job of a 26-year-old DJing and making music and stuff. But the way music's gone with Spotify and streaming doesn't really matter. But, you know, I don't have to be, like, in a boy band with a picture of me on your wall. But I've got a post of you, of me for you, Kate. You can put on your wall later.
Thanks,
But, like,
it's... Too kind.
Music's a young man's game. I should have been doing it a long time ago. So I'm actually the first time probably I've been happy in a long time because I'm doing what I wanted to do and always too scared to do it. And obviously my friendship with Vicky is what gave me the strength and belief I could do it. Oh. So I'm actually in the happiest place I've ever been. So I've got insecurities, but I'm not...
I don't think it's a young man's game anymore.
No, I think it's getting to the point where it's not as important, but...
The father of my son is a DJ.
Yeah.
And he was... You know, superstar DJ, started very young, but, you know, was in a huge dance band, Underworld.
Okay.
He's almost 50 and he's still going.
I know
he's
who
still
that
touring.
Is.
Darren Emmons.
Yeah, yeah. Are you fangirling now?
No. I'm a much bigger fan of Kate than Darren.
Thanks, Gaffer. but he's awesome and he's still working. He's still relevant. People still pay, you know, lots of money to come and hear what he wants to fill a dance floor with. So I wouldn't beat yourself up too much about that.
No, you know, so, that's like. His song, an Underworld song, was like one I can remember being at school and listening to that, like being unhappy at school, thinking like just being lost in this music, and this music can take you to a place where, you know, a happy place or a different place. And that's one of the songs that I think of. So that's what I try and think of. You try and think of the people that are listening to your music as opposed to, I'm too old for this, I'm too like thing.
Yeah.
So,
can I just say as well, Alan Rickman didn't get his first role in a film till he was 39.
Yeah, there's all those. Those are good, those stats, aren't
you
they?
Samuel Jackson face, was didn't that, yeah. make it until he was 40.
You're gone, man.
There's lots of people. You've got to find out who you are before you know how to put your real self out into the world.
Exactly. And there's a real, like, I think there's a really, like, it's a nice feeling when you finally are comfortable with who you are.
And it's like, you know, I'm sure your mum would agree with this. It's like when you have kids, we sit there and we go, they're not walking yet. They're not talking yet. They will walk. They will talk. They will wee in a toilet. It will all happen when they're ready. And we all do things at our own pace. Just the lamest analogy I could ever
come up with.
It's basically like DiCaprio. He'll get his Oscar when he's ready. He'll walk when they're ready. See, DiCaprio applies to everything. The walking is coming.
DiCaprio, man. I'm loving that. I'm gonna start channeling my inner DiCaprio.
You should do.
Go on, Kate. Go for it.
You two, thank you so much for coming in. I love meeting your real life friend, Gav.
Oh, he is the best in real life.
Thank you for having us.
And do you know what I love all the way through this? You've high-fived each other. There's hugs. You've genuinely got each other's backs. It's a beautiful friendship to see.
He's my best friend. Kate is literally the duck's nuts. I'm very lucky.
I didn't know ducks had nuts. No, I don't know.
Speaking of, I've never heard the expression duck's nuts before.
Have you not?
No, I like it.
You are them, Gav.
Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, if you want to see Vicky in action, she's on Quest Red with No Filter every Wednesday at 10. As always, if you'd like to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you. We're on Twitter and Instagram as WhiteWineQT. This episode has been produced by Caitlin Mercer for Yahoo with me, Kate Thornton. And as always, our music is provided by the legendary Andy Bell. His solo material with Glock is available, as is his brand new top 5 album with Ride and his back catalogue with Oasis. We'll see you next week. And remember, try to do better than us and drink responsibly.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.